Man, they had the best looking girls behind our bench. They must have imported them in from Los Angeles. I don't know, but I was looking at, man, where'd they get these? I didn't know they had these in Austin, Texas. It was sort of a distraction, I got to tell you.
Hey, Bray.
What's up, Jeff? How are you?
It's Chase Administrators.
Stay up!
He says, guys, just like the Godfather, this is the life he's chosen.
Guys that have kind of been in the arena.
Podcast is powered by Lindsay and Associates.
And today's guest, national championship winning head coach at Orgeron, is presented by C.R. Crawford Construction.
I'd like to welcome everybody to the Coaches in the Mouth pod. This is Coach Jeff Williams along with Coach Bray Cook and the Mouth Brent Bender. We've got our feature speaker here for the ARFCA Clinic, Coach Ed Orgeron. Coach, welcome to the show. We're so excited about having you here to speak to 1,100 coaches this morning. Welcome back to Arkansas.
Thank you, Jeff. It's an honor to be here. I love Arkansas. I love my time here. Late Dean Weber got me out. I was shoveling a shrub in a shrub shed. He gave me a job. And, you know, but you go through your career, you meet some wonderful people. I met some wonderful people in my career at Arkansas that helped me throughout my career and have me success. So I'm happy to be here.
Well, let's get into it. We're going to talk some stories. There's a lot of connections before we got started. We were talking about different guys. You know, you kind of came up the hard way. I mean, you played Northwest Louisiana, worked your way up. You talked about getting the strength conditioning part at Arkansas and some of the coaches. Talk about some of the coaches that you worked with at Arkansas, and then we'll keep going, and some of the players.
Yeah, you know, first of all, Dean Weber got me in the strength conditioning with George Williford. George became my best friend. And then I got to meet Coach Hatfield, Fred Goldsmith, Wally Aig, all those guys. They took me underneath their wing, and I was very appreciative of those guys, and I learned a lot of football from them.
Well, that connection and that part of it, just watching your career, and that, like, it's the first time I've got to meet you in person, but just I know a lot of people are connected. Talk about, you know, you go from there and you just worked your way up. You end up, you know, at Nichols and University of Miami and that run and that part. We worked for Jimmy Johnson. Art Kehoe is a big buddy of us. Talk to us about your time there at Miami and all the great players in that part of it.
Obviously, you know, going from Arkansas, I was recommended at the University of Miami as a graduate assistant. Tommy Tuberville helped me get there. I get to the University of Miami. There's Jimmy Johnson, Butch Davis, Dave Wanstead, Dave Campbell, and then there's a slew of football players, the best football players I've ever seen. But the thing that I saw with those football players was the best work ethic I've ever seen on a football field. I learned how to practice and coach football at the University of Miami, and Coach Johnson was a key factor in all of that.
Well, you talk about that. One guy's, you know, in a Hall of Famer, and we talked about him as Cortez Kennedy. You talk about Tommy Tuberville, you know, connection with Camden, Arkansas. He had connection there. And Cortez was kind of an unknown, and Tommy recruits him, and you get him. And talked a little bit about his story. It wasn't like he came in as, you know, just a heralded star, you know, and with Russell Maryland and some of those guys. You know, he's kind of overweight. Yeah. Talk to a little bit about his career and your big influence you had over him.
Big Taz was probably the best human being I ever coached. He walked in about 350. He didn't pass a 16-1-10 test. He was in Coach Johnson's doghouse. And he comes up. Coach Johnson left to go to the Cowboys. So he comes talk to me. He says, Coach, what I got to do to get better? You know how he talk. And me and him were friends.
Yeah.
And I said, Taz, you got to lose some weight. He said, how much you think I got to weigh? About 285. He was about 335. That joker got down to 285, and nobody could block him his senior year. He was the first defensive player picked. He was the best player in the country.
Yeah.
And helped us win the national championship and went on to be a Hall of Fame player. What a great, great human being.
Well, and just talk about some more. I mean, Russ Maryland, some of those guys. I mean, Art used to, who was offensive line coach, he said his favorite thing was looking at the opposing offensive line coach during the national anthem before the game. He said, because I've been sweating all week and they've been tearing us up, and now but they're on our side. Yeah. Talk to some about those guys.
You know, we had Russell Maryland, who was the first player picked in the draft for the Dallas Cowboys. We had Cortez Kennedy, who's a Hall of Famer. And then we had Jimmy Jones, who's come into the rotation. All those guys were NFL players. And then we had three first-team draft choices at defensive end. So we had a great defensive line. But that was all Jimmy Johnson, Butch Davis. That was their forte at University of Miami. That's where I learned how to recruit defensive linemen, recruit speed, and coach those guys.
Well, their philosophy was big safeties go to linebacker, big linebackers exactly. go to defensive line. Let's get more speed.
Exactly. And look, if you can play defensive line, you move to offensive line. But Jimmy would only let you recruit centers and left tackles. And he recruited defensive linemen. If you weren't quick enough, you went to offense.
Wow. Wow. Well, that, you know, it just evolves. Go out to USC, go through that part. Pete Carroll, you know, get everybody gets fired, and you're kind of the guy left over to tell that story about y'all running into each other recruiting.
Yeah, you know, we lose to Notre Dame, and the AD says, listen, if you want a job, you go out and recruit. So here I am going out and recruit for 2 weeks. Nobody else is going out and recruit. It's a Saturday night, and I'm on the sideline. It's about 10:30. They play the championship game, and here comes Pete Carroll. I'd met him one time. He goes, what are you doing here? I said, I'm recruiting. He goes, for who? I said, for USC. He said, didn't y'all get fired? I said, well, they told me if I want to continue recruiting. He goes, you know those players over here? I go, yeah. There's Manuel Wright, Dornell Bing, Herschel Dennis. He said, you think they can play at USC? I said, yeah. He said, tell me about him. I said, well, why do you want to know about him? He goes, well, I'm going to be the head coach at USC on Monday afternoon. I didn't even ask him a question. I said, hey, I got the best player in the country, Sean Cody. I said, coach, give me your number. He looked at me. He said, well, you trying to tell me what to do? I said, no, just give me your number. We're going to get Sean Cody. Call me Monday morning. I'm going to call you with Sean Cody, 7 o'clock. Who is this guy? You know what I mean? So Monday morning, I get Sean Cody to call him. And he goes, hey, Eddie, I want you at the press conference. So I go to the press conference, and lo and behold, we go to staff meet. And guess who I see? Everybody that I ain't seen in 2 weeks. They got a suit and a tie. They're all fresh. I'm all worn out from the road, man. I've been going for 2 weeks. So my seat is right near the head coach. My seat's taken. So I got to go sit in the corner. And Coach Carroll goes, well, guys, you know, I know there's a lot of good coaches in here, but y'all can respect this. I want to start on you. I ain't keeping anybody. I said to myself, I'll be darned. I've been working for 2 weeks for nothing. And I'm walking out. He goes, all except you, Eddie. Let's get to work. That's Pete Carroll all the way,
man. That's awesome, man.
Hey, and we were the only guys in the office for like a week while he's getting the staff together. We became best friends, mentor our minds. What a wonderful time we had.
Well, and you talk about that. You know, how fortunate you are. You're Miami in a huge dynasty there in the 80s, early 90s. Yeah. And then in the 2000s, you're there in the USC. And talk about some of those guys. I mean, Reggie Bush and all those guys, the great defensive players had there and your time there.
Well, you know, we use the same philosophy in Miami. You know, why get on a plane, recruit Broward and Dade County, and then go out of state and get first round draft picks like Russell Maryland and Cortez Kennedy? So, we made a circle around Southern California. We said we're going to dominate Los Angeles, not let our players leave. And if we leave out of state, we're going to go get first-round draft picks. We had to fight for Reggie Bush. Reggie Bush was going to Notre Dame. We had to fight for Sean Cody. He was going to Notre Dame. Our guys were leaving the state. We weren't fighting hard enough. USC is a great product, man. It's a private school. So we fought to keep those guys in there, and we got the great players.
Well, and y'all did, and y'all national championships run. You get your shot. You go to Ole Miss and do a phenomenal job there and really build it and recruiting. And we've had Houston Nutt on here before at Folger, and he every time he gets on there talking about his time at Ole Miss, he said Coach O didn't leave the cupboard bare when he got there. Yeah, he says it every time. He said, we had some players.
Yeah.
And talk to you a little bit, Tom. I mean, you an SEC guy. You know, you're from Louisiana. Yep. Your time at Ole Miss and going into that, your first head job, what you learned, then you know, obviously your success later on.
Yeah, you know, there's no book on being a head coach.
No,
I was a defensive line coach. You know, you walk in there, you coach Warren Sapp, you got to be a little rough around the edges, you know. But if you coach the kicker and the quarterback that way, you eventually going to break them. You know, I was going 3 days. I had my coaches in ice baths. The doctors came to me and said, Coach, it looks like mash, man. Can you ease up on these guys? Ease up my butt. You know? So, you know, I learned. That was a learning experience for me. We did a heck of a job recruiting, and we got some players. But I made some mistakes, and I admit that. I remember coming home, leaving Ole Miss, and a lesson for everybody. And I called one of my mentors, and as you all know, you know, you get fired and you start complaining. And you do this. You know? He goes, whoa, 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 whoa. He goes, that may or may not be true. He said, you can't change that. But what you gonna change about you? That's like going to the dentist, you know. And you know, but I started writing down things that I'm gonna need to change. He goes, you're gonna get a chance again. But if you do the same things over, you're gonna get fired. He says, you need to change some things that you need to change about yourself. And I started studying some things that I need to do. And I'll be darned, it worked for me.
You know, and you watching your career, and I, as a guy that's followed your career, I was always pulling for you. You know,
Thank you. You
go to USC, they let go, and you're interim there. It looks like you get that thing, you turn that whole football. I mean, it was lows on ESPN. You get the interim job and turn that thing around. Think you're going to get that job, and it doesn't happen. Go to LSU, same thing happens, but it works out this time.
That's right.
And, man, you made a huge splash.
And, you know, when it's all over, you see that God had a plan. You know, just don't get in the way, man. Get out. But you got to do the work. You got to keep fighting. And, you know, that's my story, man. Hey, you're going to go through adversity, but you got to believe and you got to keep fighting. And you got to stay with your plan. You don't know what's going to happen, but you got to believe and keep fighting. You know, when I didn't get the job at USC and I came home, I got to be with my kids. Yeah, you know, I was staying in a hotel for four years. My kids were in Mandeville. I needed to be with my kids. And to go to LSU and to be the defensive line coach, I was home. Then all of a sudden to get the job to be at LSU, holy smoke, you know what I'm saying? And then we lose to Troy. I mean, they wanted to hang me off the Baton Rouge Bridge. I was, you know, there was black clouds all over. But that's the best thing that ever happened to us because we circled the wagons. And it didn't get Joe Burrow help, too.
Yeah. Well, you talk about that year. I mean, you know, Bill Johnson, you bring him in. Your offense coordinator, you know, has a tragedy right before the SEC game.
Yeah.
The tough deal, and you know, you guys are hot.
Yeah.
And just the off-the-field things a little bit that year, just keeping that deal together on track. You had great players, obviously, but you still got to keep it on track.
Well, you know, you think about staying on track. A guy that doesn't get mentioned, doesn't get a lot of credit, he didn't want, is Steve Ensminger.
Yeah, great
coach. You talk about a general.
Bro. Yes, sir.
You know, he kept my staff together, the glue. He played football there. He's like John Wayne, man. Every day he comes to work like John Wayne. And, you know, we won like 80% of our games with Steve. And he was good enough. We got shut out by Alabama. And I said, Steve, we got to go to spread. He goes, I agree. And then we knew, I told you, Joe Brady came. He presented the RPO, says that something. I said, this guy knows the spread. Let's get him. He goes, I'm with it. And Steve had no ego. He just wanted to win for the Tiger. And Joe came put in the whole offense. And him and Joe shared the call and responsibility. And he didn't worry about Joe getting the pub or anything like this. And it just worked out perfectly.
And people don't understand that those sacrifices, those things are what makes championships.
It's got to. If it didn't, it would cause animosity on the staff.
From all over the place. Yeah. All right, Bray.
Coach, you've had such an impact on college football. Your incredible successes, like we talked about today, fighting through adversity, your entire career has been incredible to follow. You mentioned this morning that it's colder here than it is where you're living right now. What are you doing these days? Where are you at, and what are you up to?
You know, I'm retired, and happily retired.
Yep.
You know, for 37 years, I got up in the morning at 5, left the house at 6, and came home about 10 o'clock at night. And my wife, my ex-wife, who's from Arkansas, did a great job, Kelly, of raising our kids. And look, I didn't see the football games, but they made a sacrifice. And then now I get to be a dad. Now, I don't know if they like me being around as much. You know, I try to mentor them a little bit. But I got Cody and Parker, my twins, are analysts at the University of Miami. And my oldest son, Tyler, my stepson, not my son, is an analyst at Tulane. So I get to be supportive of them. I go watch them practice. I talk to them. Sometimes they answer the call. Sometimes they don't. I go watch their games. I'm remarried now. My wife has kids in Nashville. She stays with them. But I live in Miami Beach. I've got a beautiful condo, 37th floor overlooking the ocean. I get up. I stretch. I go jog South Beach every day. I come back, lay out in the sun. I pump iron on Muscle Beach. I mean, life is good.
It doesn't sound too bad. So what you're saying is there's not a job out there that would bring you back into coaching.
I'll never say that.
No?
Never say that.
So there might be.
I, I'm, I'm content and happy with what I'm doing. The game has changed. I got to say that. It has changed. And it's a little different. But you know what? I told my sons this. With the NIL and the transfer portal and all that, I wasn't there for that. Now, could I adjust? Yes. Do I agree with it? No. Okay? But they have to adjust because they're young. The game is changing. But if something would come my way that I would want to, I would have to adjust.
Yeah. Now, talking about those adjustments, how do you attack the NIL world? Like, what is the strategy there having success in all these changes in the new era that is college football?
Yeah. Be the school that has enough money. Number one, bro.
Yeah.
Number one.
Yep.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And that's it.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah. Don't go behind the eight ball
because
then you scratch it.
Yep.
You got to be able to compete.
Yep.
In this world, you got to be able to compete.
Yeah. You're absolutely right. And it's such a different world these days with everything going on. You're right. Yeah. Have the money and you find success.
Hey, you know what? When you were getting recruited, you used to write letters and talk to your mama.
Uh-huh.
Them letters don't work no more.
No.
You got to bring in the satchel. Now, some coaches back in the day used to bring in the satchel. I didn't.
Yes. I love it. Mouth, go ahead.
I say this from my dad, Mike Bender, old offensive line coach. And we used to talk about you from when you were at Miami and he was in South Carolina and Arkansas and all those places. And he worked at Rice with Fred Goldsmith. And he said, what about Ed Orgeron? He said, he can coach defensive line. That's all I know. So I got to following you throughout your career from SC to when you went to Ole Miss. And it was incredible. You lost some games you shouldn't have lost at Ole Miss. You probably didn't win the games you thought, the number of games you thought you were, but you set the plate for success for the next. You know, usually it's not always the first coach that gets the success. Unfortunately for you, you didn't get the success that you deserved at Ole Miss. But I did get tickled because you talked about. I was listening to you one time about when you're LSU and you were going back to Ole Miss to play them, I believe, and you were going to stop at the Exxon station for the chicken on the stick. And you said how good it was, but then you made it through that. You learned and went back to LSU with coach. You used to be the coach at Les Miles, and he gets fired. As luck has, not luck, just doing what you're supposed to do, you become the head coach. And was it your first year you lost to Troy? And I was because I talked to Houston every Sunday, and I said, Ed lost to Troy. He said, Ed's going to be all right. They might want to throw him overboard, but he's going to be all right. Then the next year you get Joe Burrow, who became your starter. We didn't know much about. But you know what I knew about Joe Burrow was when I believe you opened up the next season at Texas or the second game, and you hung about 44 on him without breaking a sweat. I said, here we go.
That's right. You know, speaking about that game with Joe Burrow, the Texas game, now they threw everything at us, all right? Man, they had the best-looking girls behind our bench. They must have imported them in from Los Angeles. I don't know, but I was looking at it, man. Where'd they get these? I didn't know they had these in Austin, Texas. It was sort of a distraction, I got to tell you. Boy, it was a heck of a game. And it was, we get into a situation. I asked Steve Ensminger, I said, listen, should we go 4-minute offense? He goes, hell no, we're going to score. I'm saying, oh, man, okay, go. So it's third down to 21. We should have went 4 minutes. It's third down to 21. We punt. I know they're going to score. They're going to kick our butt, right? It's third down to 21. They go max blitz, all right? Two A gap blitzes. Clyde picks up one. The center picks up the other. Joe slides to the side. He gives enough time to Jefferson to get across the route, and he holds the ball, and he gets hit in the rib in the last second. Let's go to ball. Jefferson catches the ball across the route. And scores a touchdown.
Wow.
You know what I said? We got a team. Players make plays. If you want to be a great coach, get great players. You know what I'm saying? Hey, look, we beat the Heat. We didn't have no air conditioning in the locker room. The pretty girls, McConaughey, whatever his name on the sideline, all of them, man. They lucky they didn't play the next year in Baton Rouge because I was going to have some damn alligators in their damn locker room.
You know, but on that team also, you had one of the best centers that's in the NFL.
Oh my God.
Right now. Not Quisenberry.
Lloyd Cushenberry.
Oh, Christenberry. He was outstanding. Your whole team. You had Patrick Queen. Was he one of your linebackers? Yep.
Patrick Queen.
I mean, y'all had a team for the ages.
Hey, Lloyd Cushenberry and Coach Miles signed him. He was one of the last guys we signed. He was going to South Carolina. Patrick Queen was a tailback out of Livonia. Nobody knew about him. So, you know, when you're recruiting, you in Louisiana, man, you got to take those guys. You know, don't let them go nowhere else. They're good, and they're going to develop. But, you know, the best thing about that team, it was a team. It wasn't about Joe Burrow or everybody, or it wasn't about Joe Brady or Ed Orgeron. It was a team. We won as a team, and that's what it takes to go 15-0.
Now, you mentioned having good players makes you a good coach. What's some advice that you would give, you know, a young coach who's getting into college, who's that GA at Miami right now? What do you tell that coach to get him prepared to take on the bigger roles to advance his career?
I would tell him to get to work early. Stay late, listen, work on your craft. You know, when you go around the table, like you're sitting in the GA, you're gonna be in the back or something like that, an analyst, and there's going to be all the coaches in the front. You're going to want to be in that chair. Well, every day, take notes and listen. Not every coach you're going to want to be like. There's going to be some coaches that have good things. There's going to be some coaches you don't want to be like. Take the things that you like about the coach and become your own coach. And every day is a learning experience. Write down your notes. And when you go home or not, take notes. Knowledge is power. Then also be enthusiastic what you do, man. You're coaching. You know what I'm saying? Be in good shape. Go in there. Hey, a coach tells you to do something. Yes, sir. Coach, how you doing, man? Let's go. Yo, hey. And then you want people around the football. You know, you go in there, hang your head. And then you got to be in shape. You know, you're a young guy, you're a graduate assistant, you're running around on the field. I mean, I was in the weight room, I'm squatting, I'm running 110, I'm running the stadium. Coach Hatfield, where did we get this guy? I'm saying, look, hey bro, you got me out the strip shed. You think I'm happy?
Oh, man. Well, Coach, we're going to get y'all finished. You get ready. Talk to us before you get up there. What we're going to talk about and things like that, you know, for these young coaches.
I want to share with our guys. And one of the things that I think, okay, I don't know, but I think that is disappearing. You said it. The fundamentals of coaching football. Before I got on the field at the University of Miami, before I talked to one player, I had to go over every drill and everything I was going to tell those players and get okayed by Coach Johnson and the staff. You want to try that one?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. But I learned that from John Thompson, Bill Johnson, Coach Goldsmith, Wally Ake. I was prepared for that. What's your drill list like? What's your drill tape like? What is your teach progression like? And I'm gonna tell them what I learned. And I'm gonna challenge. Do you have this? I don't want them to raise their hand. You know what I mean? But if you see, I was never a coordinator. And they said I'd never be a head coach. I don't want to say on the radio what I told them. You know what I mean? I was bound and different. And I want to talk to them through the adversity that I went through. And if I can be a head coach at Louisiana State University, there's a lot of young men sitting out here that I hope that I can motivate them. I was raised in a $25 rental home in South Louisiana. But you know what? I was raised richer than home. I was given heart, courage, the ability to compete, and go work. And those are the ingredients that you need to have success. But I appreciate being on the show.
Well, I appreciate it. Hey, Coach, before you get out here, we got some gifts. We'll give you a gift card to All-American Steakhouse. Got a couple T-shirts and that
part
of it.
I appreciate you guys.
We are extremely excited. It's been a buzz all morning long for the last 2 days. When we announced you were coming, there's been a buzz, and everybody's excited, and they're here early.
Thank you, guys. All right, man. Look at this.
Yeah, you sell a steak. Get yourself the Delmonico. Nice little ribeye there at All American Steakhouse. Yeah. I got the shirt for you. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you. Hey, you guys are wonderful, man. I appreciate you guys.
Well, we appreciate you being here, Coach.
Thank you, man.
We'll see you down the road.
Have a good day.
All right, buddy.